classics.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Weekly, we are brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. Check out AllAccessMMA.com for MMA news, MMA stories, and our video podcast. Ed, how's it going on the East Coast, brother?
Pretty good. I mean, the cold weather's gone. The nice weather's finally coming in for a little while. Excuse my coughing because if you folks watch the news, that Nova Scotia fire smoke or whatever is actually dripping its way down in New Jersey. So if I seem like I'm a little off when I speak, that's why, because the air is actually not great in New Jersey. When is it ever great? But that's other than that, I mean, you know, Ultimate Fighter started, kind of like a nice way to lead us back into some UFC events with some fighters that folks can all get behind between Michael Chandler and Conor McGregor. I haven't watched, this is the season 31, and I haven't watched The Ultimate Fighter. Shit, I can't even tell you the last, I think the last time I watched is when they had the flyweight tournament thing. Was the last time I seriously watched The Ultimate Fighter. And man, I mean, something about Conor, you know, the guy brings eyeballs. I even watched two episodes of his Netflix thing. You know what I mean? There's just something about the guy that makes you want to find out what makes him tick. the first episode, again, it's my first Ultimate Fighter in a while. And, you know, the format, all the reality show format, I could give a shit about. I really don't like care. I've never cared for reality. The only time I did like it was obviously when everyone did, when it first, you know, because it was something brand new when the Ultimate Fighter first came out. But, you know, with the whole going on 30 years of UFC and how they've evolved from what they were back to the, from the first season to now, it's definitely different. And, but it's also kind of like, there's a weird, like, nostalgic thing that tuning into that episode, it's on Tuesday nights and I teach jiu-jitsu Tuesday nights. So to come home and rush and watch it, it kind of brings me back to like when I started doing jiu-jitsu. That was literally what I was doing. You know, I was coming home and we would all watch The Ultimate Fighter and talk about it in class. So it's just weird that's where it's all full circle, kind of like just weird. Like, you know, here I am now, a black belt and teaching jiu-jitsu. And you know, I know this Saturday when I go to train again, people will be talking to me about The Ultimate Fighter. So there's things that I like about it. There's things obviously I don't like, but it's kind of nice. It's fun. It seems like it's fun this season so far.
It has potential because it has such a big fight behind it. Mm-hmm. I also think that it's more entertaining because of the fact that it's bringing back some veteran fighters. So it's not, you know, you're giving, it's a little bit different of a storyline. We've seen it in the past in other seasons. I like it better than just having a bunch of prospects, because I feel like obviously The Ultimate Fighter was kind of created to get the name brand out, but at the same time also help develop talent to help fill out their roster, which in 2005 was pretty depleted, especially when you consider Pride and WEC and all that stuff was going on. So you had to create stars. I don't see that as necessary anymore. So that's why this kind of, it kind of seems to have run its course in a lot of people's mind, but not every season is Chandler and McGregor. And like I said, you're bringing back some veterans, so people know some of these guys. Trevor Wells competes next week. He fights Timur Valuyev. Wells trains down the street for me. Met him a bunch of times down at Team Quest. And he's fighting a former World Series of Fighting champion who made a little run in the UFC as well. And then, you know, most of these guys' runs ended fairly bad, but a lot of them got cut. For a couple of the guys like Catone, you know, 2-2 get cut. You kind of, you know, that's it's you know, it's who you are, obviously, how name, value, and what you carry. So
there's I mean, obviously there's obviously the weird stuff that happened with the creation of the season, you know, but McGregor kind of addressed in the episode like how he's got guys of his own that he wanted on the show, that and they had a, you know, they had to send some guys away with promises of a phone call when they need them to actually fill a card up, which is a little, it's on the one side, it's messed up, but on the other side, it's like, okay, at least I don't have to go through the show to get on a card.
Exactly. So. That's the thing. Like with the Contender series and stuff now, these dudes are really like signing up for a lot of extra drama when most of them would likely probably get a Contender series fight.
Yeah. Speaking of Contender series, I mean, just reminded me the news came out last night, I think. Chandler Cole's going to be on Contender Series. Thanks to shout out to Nolan King, who's been on the podcast multiple times, wrote the piece with a announced Contender Series fight. And he's another one that's kind of like that. Went through the Ultimate Fighter, didn't make it into the UFC. So now he's got his Contender Series shot and he's been picking up wins, fighting in the regional scene. A lot of his more recent fights you could watch over at Spectation Sports, where I cover, I interview a lot of fighters for. Roz Hilton that picked up the win last weekend that I mentioned. It's crazy how much more opportunities are out there for these guys now, not just for the UFC, but with everything going on.
There's fights everywhere. I mean, it's so much that you can't even watch it all now if you wanted to try, where obviously it wasn't that long ago where you were searching YouTube for random videos of, Brazil Open fight 1996.
Yeah.
just to see something, you know.
Like I literally watched most Pride events on DVD after they happened, and they were still like, you know, like up until I caught up to what was current. I remember when I found out about them. I mean, that's why I have a box. I literally have the box sitting over there of all my Pride DVDs. Yeah. Because
well, that's now there's, you know, there's so much going on and I think the season of the Ultimate Fighter is going to be interesting, but at the same time, we'll see how it continues. After a couple weeks, will it kind of rub off, cause I heard fairly good reviews, from most people about the first episode as far as the layout. It's all pretty standard, but there was a little bit, they had the face off between the two dudes and between Chandler and McGregor and stuff. So you had some of that stuff that could potentially wear off a few weeks down the line, but it really comes down to how good the fights are. And if one of these young kids or one of the prospects that they have on there develops into a superstar, then it all becomes worth it again. We've kind of not, it's been a while. I mean, I, without even trying to rack my brain, I can't even remember the last Ultimate Fighter that went on to maybe Usman. I mean, I may be forgetting somebody, but like, I can't really think of anybody in the last, 5 years that's jumped off.
And it's because there's literally so many seasons, and then you have like Ultimate Fighter Brazil. And, I remember I wrote a piece maybe a year or two ago for 137 PM about the other best Ultimate Fighters from other seasons, and I had to leave out the ones you mentioned, Usman. I didn't put him in it because I was trying to go back to the earlier seasons, and they gave me a set number, so I was literally pulling out Diego Sanchez and other fighters that were from way back that have done, went on to do great things in the sport. One of the things that come to mind when you think about Ultimate Fighter too, because you never know what's going to happen with these guys. Whether if or not they when or gals, because there's like, wasn't Rose Namajunas like not one of the greatest ones from the crop of Ultimate Fighter that she was on, and look at what she went on to do. And then Brandon Moreno, who's fighting in July, I mean, he didn't even finish the season he was on. They started throwing him on cards right away.
Yeah,
and then they cut him, and then they brought him back to become the Brandon Moreno that everybody knows.
Yeah, everything's history now. Yeah, no, I mean, there's potential, but like that's what I said, everything's got to come out of it, and we'll just have to see how it unfolds. But like I said, reviews have been good. A couple fighters I'm interested in. You got Knight, the from BKFC, UFC, in the past and stuff. So always kind of exciting, but
Mando Gutierrez, I actually interviewed him for his last fight before he got called up, because his fight's on Spectation Sports, the last fight he had. That's a while ago. I'd have to check my notes on the date, but it was a while ago. I want to interview him again, but I know they're all the guys that are on the show are they have that NDA, they can't talk to anybody until things are pretty much said and done or whatever the case may be. So that they're not allowed to reveal much, but unless obviously the folks that have exclusives will be the first ones to reveal anything. But I know, I think MMA Junkie's doing something after every episode, and a couple other outlets that the UFC has given them, you know, access to stuff to. But it's definitely fun, man. I mean, I'm glad that they're doing it in the summer. I mean, I still worry about the Chandler McGregor fight happening because of all the other stuff going on, but I hope we don't lose it, man. I mean, it should be fun. I mean, it's definitely whatever the UFC marketing machine is. I don't know who the mind is behind all that stuff, but whatever they've been doing, they do it very well.
Yes, they do. and we'll see. I mean, it's clearly on McGregor at this point. Mm-hmm. What the future holds for that fight, and obviously for himself. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And like you said, there's got to be some chaos. I'm sure something will go down that'll make headlines for something. It'll probably be some nonsense, but you know, it's something to watch. And you know, and like you said, McGregor and Chandler add that extra. You know, they give you a reason to watch, even if you're not completely into it, like I am. You know, I mean, I think the whole world is kind of burnt out on the Ultimate Fighter. Anybody that's been following the sport for, you know, more than, you know, say 10 years is probably kind of ship kind of sailed on the idea.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because it seems to be something that we're not just saying here on this podcast. Like, there's literally, like, Jack Slack just put out a video. When did the UFC fall off? Like 2 days ago. I saw something else on, and again, I mean, like he's independent. Like, you could appreciate it coming from him or guys like us. Cause you know, we don't have a loyalty to anybody really. I mean, I forget who wrote there's a CBS Sports article that was kind of saying the same thing. A lot of people, I mean, too many events. And I mean, even I think James Lynch has videos on stuff like this, and it really is just becoming like, it's a case of like, maybe. Yes, we're happy that we have fights almost every weekend, but it doesn't always have to be them. Like, there's plenty of other people that we could be watching.
Exactly. You know, it's a fine line. It's a fine line because we obviously don't want to bash it too much, but at the same time, you people are sensitive. So you if you say something,
especially now, yeah.
Yeah, and the reality is that, you know, it's. I don't mind that there's UFC every weekend. I just think that they've watered it down with guys that should be fighting on the regional scene. And I think they've hurt the regional scene, and they've taken money out of other promoters' pockets and other locales. I mean, it's not, and it was one thing when the UFC was visiting city after city after city, making available to everybody. 80% of the events now, I think, was it 68% of the events are all at the Apex now. So it's border. It sounds crazy to say this, but it's essentially a regional show that goes out once every 3 months. You know, like
what's crazy is that, again, whatever they're doing with their marketing, the machine that does it, they have their fans that don't mind any of this, and they'll pay the inflated ticket price to go see an event when they go. It actually drives. It's probably why they're doing it. People are paying when they do leave. It's like a big deal when they go somewhere. So people are willing to pay those crazy ticket prices that you and I that are, you know, it's crazy to you and I because who've been going to events forever. Like, I might be going to a regional show this Saturday in Jersey, Dead Serious 29, that our friend Mr. Peacock that was on the podcast, he'll be calling that event. But I mean, if I go to that, you know what I mean? I'm probably going to enjoy that more than recording the UFC on ESPN and sitting through all those commercials. But yeah. And then they just booked more. It doesn't look like it's going to slow down. So obviously it's working for them because they just booked like, what, 5-6 more events they just announced?
Yeah. And again, like, it's nice that there's something every weekend. It doesn't leave any you ever wondering, you know, if you're bored or you're sitting around, you know, you always got fights to watch. It's just there was ways to watch these same fights. They were just had a different banner over the cage. And you know, I don't know. We'll see the long run how it plays out. But I just, you know, it doesn't feel like the Super Bowl of MMA anymore. It really doesn't. It feels like that about once a year. It feels like that for once, maybe twice a year when you get that super card.
Yeah.
You know, potentially something like we're looking like at the end of July with the Gaethje card, you know, potentially the Conor card,
And I feel like they dropped the ball with that. Like, that really should have been International Fight Week. I mean, I don't mind the card that's on International Fight Week, but Like, it's like they keep shooting themselves in the foot. And I know Dana White kind of remarked about that when it came to, like, the folks when Mexican media was asking, you got all these Mexican champions doing well. How come you're not doing anything, like, in Mexico or on Mexico? One of the dates they have booked in the Apex is freaking September 16th, which is the date that everyone thought was, like, oh, we thought we were going to do something. So I don't know. I mean,
well, help me out, because be wrong. I'm not, but that's the real Mexican Independence Day, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You live in California. You know that.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's also a big boxing date. It's like Cinco de Mayo and that weekend in September, or that week in September, have always been historically a De La Hoya or Canelo or something fight. So UFC really never embraced that at all. But now they have Mexican champions, so you would think that would make sense. But what, they got it for the Apex? I mean, I just saw it, everything they announced today was Apex, and then Vegas in December, which probably will be the target for McGregor and Chandler. But honestly, until McGregor gets in the USADA pool, nobody really knows, you know, what kind of strings they're going to pull for him or how that's going to unfold. But, you know, I mean, Kai Kara-France does fight this weekend. He's always fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Obviously had a couple, good fights with Moreno. He headlines Alex Caceres is a Ultimate Fighter dude who really has had a heck of a run in the UFC. I mean, his record's 20-13, but he's got, you know, he's in the co-main event, which tells you a little bit of the water down level, but at the same time, he's somebody you think that they would get behind and promote a little bit more. He's got the look, he's got the character, seems like a really good dude inside and outside the cage, as far as, you know, not committing crimes and stuff. So you wonder.
I haven't seen. I thought this fight, I mean, the Jim Miller fight with
Jared. They got a replacement last minute. It got announced.
So that. They haven't updated the website, so I'm not bringing it up.
I think it literally broke almost as we were getting ready to record. I saw it, and I didn't recognize the kid that signed up to fight him. But Jim Miller. I mean, you know, I would have almost made Miller and Gordon the main event. Like, what has Miller got to do to get any kind of, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's an Apex card. Like, what, you know? It just seems to me like that would be kind of the thing that, you know, I'd be focusing and rewarding some of the guys who have been around forever. Tim Elliott's on the card.
I know they're supposed to come to Atlantic City at some point soon. So maybe the fact that they're having a fight this weekend, I mean, I don't know when they're going to do, when they're going to use him. Then it always shocks me when they have these guys that are going to be holding cards. I don't know. I just feel like they should make, you know, cause they got to pay for travel for their teams and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just weird to me, but maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
weren't they talking Atlantic City in beautiful December or January? Wasn't that?
Oh, that's like what it is. Yeah, because I said it's the worst time to go. Yeah, so maybe they put him on that. I forget how many fights he has left. I know he there's a number he wants to hit. So, whenever he calls it his last one, they should let him do it. You know, hopefully in Atlantic City, New Jersey, or at least at the Garden. You know, because Jim Miller definitely would deserve that. But
well, he's got to get to UFC 300 at this point. Yeah. So he could do 100, 200, and 300. I think that's got to be like, and if anything, that would be the perfect retirement, to retire at UFC 300. Mm-hmm. You essentially have been through the entire history of the UFC.
I'm going to bring up the card just because there's actually some really nice fights on there. Like, people are already like, you know, they are one thing. I'll give credit to them as far as the quality. When it's on a regular ESPN, they do bring some because the prelims. I'm surprised at some of the names on the prelims here. So here it is from UFC.com. Like, Andre Arlovsky is on the prelims for a heavyweight bout against Dontale Mays. And John Castaneda, so anybody that was into Combate Americas when he was like their guy, he's fun to watch. I've interviewed him in the past for Front Proof Media. Jamie Malarkey versus Muhammad Naim. Like, these are good fights on the prelims.
Yeah, no, there's names. I mean, there's some good fights. It's just, you know, like, I feel like a lot of these should be mixed in and should have been the undercard on a pay-per-view.
Philippe Lins, you know, first fight.
First fight. I don't think they like him. I think they want to get rid of him as soon as possible.
This is a great strawweight bout. At least Reed versus Jin Yu Frey.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I mean, you know, now you pull it up, there's actually some nice names on it. It just seems like it's not top-heavy, you know, when as far as, like, you think, like, okay, historically that would have, like, a really nice main event. like you'd a real, you know, and not that this one isn't, but it just, it's not, you know, it's not even a number one contender fight. So it's kind of, it kind of takes from it, but it's mentioned it's on regular ESPN. Looks like
6 o'clock is the first fight, 6 PM Eastern. And then I think it's eight. I have it up here. Hold on.
So you got a late start, late night for you.
Not really. It's actually early. Cause usually main card starts at 9. Prelims start at six.
Hour earlier than normal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's actually nice. And it's all on regular ESPN. So if I do go to the Dead Serious show, I can record this and go support my local fighters out here in Jersey.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That's what, sounds like fun. Go see Mr. Peacock and get up and close to some hungry fighters.
Yeah. But so before we close out the show, I wanted to an interesting, as we were trying to figure out with our crazy schedule that we've had lately. I mean, just a quick housekeeping notes for folks. Next week will likely be another Thursday show. We will get back to Wednesdays eventually with our guest bookings, but our schedules lately have just not been very agreeable. But one of the things that came up when I was doing my homework looking at Tough and what we were going to talk about tonight, someone had asked if I don't know if you're familiar with Quora, it's like the question and answer site, it's like the new Yahoo Answers. Someone, and I'm on there, so people will tag me for certain, usually it's combat sports related martial arts stuff. And someone had asked, like, who I think is the GOAT pound-for-pound fighter, boxing, MMA, or kickboxing. Someone that has a title or someone that, you know, retires with a couple of losses. And it's one of those questions that always comes up over and over again when you hear about the greatest of all time, which is what GOAT's supposed to stand for. And I fucking hate that people call other people an animal now ever since. I'd rather you say greatest of all time, but I was just, that's a whole other thing. But when that debate comes up, when the GOAT debates come up for you, as cause you know, I always tease you about being the Just Bleed guy. I'm just curious, like, do you enjoy those conversations or do you feel like it's stupid every time they come up?
I used to enjoy them a lot more when it was like a smaller crowd and the sport hadn't been around as long. And, I really don't anymore because I don't think you have a historical perspective. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has that. So like if I'm sitting in a room and I'm talking with a bunch of people like you and guys who have been around this sport for 20 plus years, yes, I can have that conversation. To have a conversation with somebody who's only been around the sport for like 5 years, even 10 years, and didn't go back and do their research and watch the old Pride and watch the old IVC or the Baron, you know, like didn't do the historical research, then no, I think it's a waste of time conversation. And I think that's what we get a lot of with these nowadays, because the GOAT changes every weekend. And that's, and like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like there was a time where it was like, okay, it's either GSP, it's either Anderson or it's Fedor. Like we're not going to even contemplate anybody else in the mix because that would just be crazy talk. Now, I mean, you literally have, you know, I mean, you'll have people argue for Aldo. You'll still have people argue for BJ Penn. You've got people go for McGregor. You've got people that'll say Adesanya. You've got people that'll say Volkanovski. I mean, it just goes on and on. And I don't think, unless you have the perspective of all the years of this sport and really, really reached out and wanted to learn, you know, about a, I mean, you could make an argument Igor Vovchanchin should be somewhere on that list. Like his time and space in this sport, the dude went on like a 40, I think it was a 37 fight win streak in bare knuckles. He won 8 no holds barred tournaments that we know of. Like that's to think about that in today's time and space is absolutely lunacy. I mean, like, could you imagine watching Conor McGregor win 3 8-man tournaments in 1 month? Like bare knuckle, no rules. Like, yeah. I mean, it's a totally different sport. So like, you can't, you need to be able to acknowledge that like guys had their times and eras. And I think really that's more what the better argument would be is like, you know, you got your pioneers, you got your golden era fighters, and then you've got the ESPN and you know, and the Endeavor years. There's like the Brock era somewhere kind of in there, you know, that maybe like the early 2010s. I don't even know what we would really call that era. Maybe like the farewell Zuffa years where we kind of bitched about stuff, but stuff that's was like really, really good.
Is that the Fox? I guess that's the Fox era, right? The Fox era.
I think kicked in like 2011. Yeah. Ish, so that's probably about right, maybe 2009. Yeah. It's hard to pinpoint exactly, but yeah, so maybe the Fox era. And the Fox era we complained about, but boy was that good.
Yeah, it was fun.
We had title fights on Fox TV.
There was always some place to watch. You didn't have to have any, you know, extra sign-ins or anything.
No, I mean, you'd bitch because the prelims might be on Fox Sports one or two or something, you know, or they'd kick it to Fuel TV one day because there was a bunch of sports on. But, you know, so as far as the GOAT conversation, like, I, for me, it's become more, and I stated this a couple weeks back, like, it's become more about a personal GOAT. Like, my personal GOAT is Fedor based off of going to live events. I've never enjoyed watching a fighter fight more than I enjoyed the 7 times, I think it is, that I got to watch Fedor fight. Like that's to me, that win and lose, even though watching him lose was, you know, devastating when it was all said and done. Like, I never had more fun at the fights and more like adrenaline and more, just more fired up. Like, and I've seen the, you know, I didn't get to see Anderson Silva a million times fight in person. I saw Anderson Silva fight twice in person. He lost both. I mean, the odds of that are pretty impressive in itself, you know, but he fought Cormier. And
that's the thing. Like we all know, like, especially if you follow this podcast, everybody knows Matt's a hardcore, you know, Fedor is always going to be his top, always going to top the top of most of your list. But my question is, my perception when it comes to the conversation about greatest of all times, because time, you know, we're still in time. Time is still moving right now. So, like, and I'm like, I've been like that about my fighter. Like, I was a hardcore Boss Rutten guy. Everybody knows that. Kazushi Sakuraba, Crow Cop, Fedor. Right now, I mean, everybody knows if Justin Gaethje's fighting, I'm 1,000%. I turn into a Just Bleed guy when Justin Gaethje fights. You know what I mean? Like, I always change mine so I can't, like, this, because Ant kind of asked us this when we had Ant Walker on a couple of episodes ago. It's like 3 months ago, I think it was. And he asked us, like, who we thought the pound for pound was. And we really couldn't answer it because, you know, it's relative to what's going on. It's just relative to what's going on and what you, like you said, where your reference points are. And then there's always recency bias. And, you know, depending on how you watch, you know, everybody watches fights differently. So I don't know.
Well, it's just you get both sides because, like, somebody should, in theory, have to do something to lose their status as the greatest of all time. Mm. Like, okay, so I'm going to get back to Fedor thing. So my thing with Fedor was, like, up until 2011-ish, 10-11, he was essentially the greatest of all time because he was essentially undefeated, and he had fought 30 times, and he had fought in the biggest heavyweight organization in the world in Pride, and you had that. But it only took, like, seven or eight fights, and suddenly Cain Velasquez is the greatest fighter of all time. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, there's got to be some – you can't just – How does that work? You know what I mean? Like, there's asked you, so, like, that's when it started jumping the shark for me. It was like, we started going, okay, well, now Dos Santos is the greatest. Now people say Stipe is the greatest heavyweight of all time. Like, it's like, well, what are we, I mean, how are we, it just, it's all new fans. You get new opinions. And unless you watched everybody, you know, I mean, I think the only real weight class, I mean, I think you almost have to break it down to weight classes. And at that point, it gets a little easier, you know, but even middleweight, like, is Adesanya greater than Anderson Silva? Like, it's not just success in the cage, although that's huge. Like, did Anderson Silva did more for MMA in the UFC specifically than Adesanya has done by, like, leaps and bounds, you know? I mean, he went from the golden era to the Fox era, all undefeated, and flashy and knocking people out and all over
Sports Center. Yeah, and having Burger King and Nike sponsoring
on
him,
the cover of video games. Yeah. I mean, he made those guys made the UFC known. I mean, it's like Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell's on nobody's GOAT list, but if you're talking the GOAT of, like, you know,
there's a 30 for 30 just on his rivalry with Tito Ortiz alone.
You know, and a lot, some people don't consider, like, Ollie's pretty much the universal GOAT for boxing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't necessarily believe he was the greatest pound-for-pound boxer of all time. But it was because of everything he did. It was everything he did. It was his activism. It was his, it was his, how he stood, you know.
And I feel like that's even going to shift as, like when we're old men, when we're older men. Like when we're like, you know, in the nursing home or whatever, and some young guy talks to us, if we mention Ali, they might raise an eyebrow at us and say, no, it was Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's all relative to the time that you're in and you know, your reference points of watching the sport. But I mean, every time that, you know, so when I answered this question, I even said, like, you know, MMA media likes to use this for clicks. Like, they'll bring up these opinionated blogs and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, the answer is it's you can't say it's anybody, because until the world stops spinning, if there's some way that we could all get our collective, you know, consciousness at the end of everything and look back and say, okay, now it's done. Let's look back at everyone. And say who's done what. I mean, the list, like, for me, Justin Gaethje, when he said and done with his, he's going to be one of the greatest of all time for me too.
But he'll be the greatest of all time as an entertainer, but he won't necessarily be the greatest of all time record wise. I mean, he could go on a huge run. Don't get me wrong, but you're always going to have the Khabibs and the stuff that are 30 and 0. You know, you're going to have the GSPs that are, you know, 28-2. You know, you're gonna have those. So, like, there's always gonna be an argument. But I think that the GOAT talk also kind of takes away from, like, let's just appreciate every, like, the people like Gaethje who come to the table and fight. Like, they're the entertainers. Gaethje's the GOAT entertainer when it comes to fighting. Gaethje's kind of like Tyson in a sense. We can look back on the old history of boxing because we grew up in a time where we were kind of like in the middle of that. We grew up in the 80s, 90s when boxing was really, really good, you know? But we also always heard stories about Frazier and Ali and Foreman and all those guys who were pretty much before us. But we really wouldn't be into boxing if it wasn't for Mike Tyson. If it wasn't for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out video game, like, how many people our age wouldn't have been as interested in boxing, because you got into Mike Tyson, you saw Tyson's fight, then you see he's fighting, you know, Ray Mercer. Mm-hmm. You look into Ray Mercer's history, then you see, you know, you Spinks and these guys who he's beating, but you still opened your eyes to, well, Spinks fought, you know, I don't know, I'm just going to Foreman, or Spinks fought, you know, Ali. So you kind of, it kind of creates that web where you really learn the sport. But Tyson was the one who kind of, like, I imagine there's a lot of younger kids seeing Justin Gaethje, Dustin Poirier, and those guys going out there and bleeding all over the cage, and putting on brawls, and that's opening their eyes to the sport. So you might have guys that Justin Gaethje is their GOAT. You know, he's who they know. He's their kids. It's their favorite fighter. You know, my favorite baseball player was Wally Joyner. He was an average first baseman. Still have his autograph up on the wall. First autograph I ever had in my life. But he's my favorite baseball player of all time. But he wasn't a superstar. But he was just, when I was a kid, he was the man. He had Wally World, and you know, he had the Vacation movie, and you know, and it was that's what got me into it. And you know, I remained loyal to that guy. And it's like Chris Weidman. I still love Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman is one of my favorite fighters. Had a tough fucking run. And I probably should never go watch the dude ever fight again in person, because I've brought that dude more bad luck to his fight. You know, between Jacare Romero and Uriah Hall, I don't need to go see him fight in person anymore. I've personally probably taken 30 years off that man's life just being in the crowd. But at the same time, like, I don't miss his fights.
That's,
like,
for
I
folks like to that watch don't him. Know, Matt's talking about the he's got a weird, I don't know if it's like a weird tattoo or maybe he's got 3 6s on his scalp when he goes to MMA events. But Matt has a long history of the craziest stuff happening during. I mean, shit, you were in town when I was in Vegas. You and I were both in Vegas for UFC 200 when John Jones overnight literally got pulled from the card. So, I mean,
maybe there's a level of curse that seems to follow me around. And even when you don't expect it, I mean, I've been to a couple pro wrestling events this year and actually had like matches, wow, like just broken legs. And
just hit me. Like, you went to Jillian's fight, son of a bitch.
Yeah, Jillian, that didn't go well. You know, I went to a New Japan Pro Wrestling match the other day, and the main event ends, the girl breaks her ankle, and they have to go to, like, plan B, and it's like, good Lord, I'm coming here to watch, like that was scripted shit. Was
that was recently, right?
It was Sasha, Mercedes, or, Sasha Banks, you know, and I go to WrestleMania, and knees are flying out, and, you know, Shane McMahon's quads exploding, and I'm going, this is, like I just want to watch something, like, it's like going to a movie and having, like, the actor die halfway through the movie, and they're like, yeah, we can't record it, like, you just get half a movie. It's like, God dang, it's scripted. Like, can I get through a scripted event with at least not having to see people get carried out on stretchers and, you know, and craziness happenings? But yeah, I mean, you know, getting back to the GOAT thing, I just think it's a generational thing. And I think you really got to open your mind up to, you know, I think people used to take hard stance at it when we were all hardcore fans. I know I've lightened on it a little bit, like, mm-hmm. as far as like giving a little bit of leniency to people who want to put people in the list that I think are a little bit too new. You know, if you've only fought 12 times and you started fighting in 2016, probably not going to be on my GOAT list, but you might be on somebody who's 22 years old, you know? So, but I think it's a fun conversation. And I think as long as it brings up the names of the guys from the past, I think it's good, because as long as you keep bringing those guys' names up, and, you know, I don't, you know, doing podcasts like this where we mention the Vochanchians, mm-hmm. we mention the Shoguns, we mention the Vanderlays. I mean, you think like so many people only got to see Shogun at the end of his like last 10 fights. Like, you don't understand like what was there. Like, there was a time Shogun was arguably the light heavyweight GOAT. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like 26 years old, just wrecking fools that are in the Hall of Fame all over the place. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a weird thing. It's weird how time's passed in this sport, but, you know, I think there's a lot of stars out there. I just don't think we have the promotion. You know, I think it's strange to me we don't see Adesanya on commercials. It's strange to me we don't see, you know, Justin Gaethje on a, you know.
Well, he's done commercials, though.
Has he really done, like,
yeah, he you did know, it, he's done for, I don't want, it's not Patron. Some tequila commercial that's pretty funny with him.
Yeah, but the UFC sponsors and stuff. Like, I'm just surprised they're not more mainstream. Like, it took like 2 years, and all of a sudden we had Tank Abbott on Friends. Like, where's, you know what I mean? Like,
I remember like, that, yeah.
I don't watch much of the late night talk shows and stuff, but are these guys ever on it? I mean, has Alexander Volkanovsky ever been on The Tonight Show, or if that even exists anymore? I don't even know. You know? Saturday Night Live? When was the last UFC fighter on Saturday Night Live? Did Chuck Liddell ever host it?
No, Ronda Rousey, I think, is the only
Ronda
one.
Rousey, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, but that's, like, where's that? Like, if you have a promoter, it seems to me in management, like, that's where you should be getting out there. How did Conor McGregor never do Saturday Night Live?
I mean, he's always somebody that's been, I mean, one thing about the, going back to The Ultimate Fighter, and even his own little documentary show that he's got on Netflix, that's kind of something I always forget because of his antics and the stuff he's usually in the news for, is he definitely has this weird, like, not weird, it's unique to guys that choose the fighting life, but he definitely, because those things definitely come his way, and he turns them down because he doesn't want it to get in the way, especially now, because he's at the point where he's taken a few losses, you know, his greatness has come to question. At least in his own mind, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like, and when he sees that coming, if you didn't watch that, he does an interview before The Ultimate Fighter with Megan O'Leary, and you can see him, he kind of touches on that, which, not for nothing, I mean, that completely has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but Megan O'Leary, when it comes to folks interviewing fighters, like, that, and they don't make you fucking fall asleep, she's really good at her job. And I'm not just saying that because she's, you know, good looking. She's like, I watched that interview from beginning to end. I thought her questions were great, you know, because some people will bore the fuck out of you, And that you don't even want to watch the interview. Like Brett Okamoto, I can't stand any interview he does. I now I'm at the point that if I see his face on the other side of the screen, I'm just like, you know what? I'll read someone else's blog about it. Like I can't just sit through him. He just, it's almost like he's on a bad date with anyone he interviews. But I'm good. That's besides the point. I'm ranting, but about McGregor, like I feel like to the question you asked, I've heard so many stories about him turning stuff down, and him doing the what's the movie he's going to be in, the Roadhouse remake.
Okay, like, so whatever. Okay, yeah, you do have that. Yeah. They've been in some movies.
Yeah, but he's been offered other stuff. Like I know they wanted him to do something for was it a video game or something? And then he said yes, and then was like, no, like I want to fight Nate Diaz again or whatever.
He's on his own brand. McGregor doesn't need to be put over. McGregor's already over. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just talking about some of the up and coming guys like Brandon Moreno. Like why isn't he, like you know what I mean? Like
why isn't he in the next Lego movie?
Why don't they have a Brandon Moreno Lego?
Yeah.
You know, like build your octagon. Here's Brandon Moreno and Kai France. Like, you know, yeah. I mean, maybe it's not the demographic. I don't know if kids that have Legos are watching UFC. I don't know.
That have Legos.
I don't know. Yeah, I got toys on the wall in here. So if they had Brandon Moreno Lego, I'd probably have it on my shelf. But, you know, who knows? Yeah. But anyways, I think that kind of wraps us up. I think we're looking ahead towards if we're on next week, we got the pay-per-view out in Vancouver. Is that up on us?
Yeah, the Canada one. Yeah, so that's the pay-per-view next week. So we'll be doing our picks for that.
Cool. All right, well, until then, fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazal on Twitter, Carbeerzal on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. And as always, you can check out our podcast at allaccessmma.com. Check out allaccessmma.com for MMA news, MMA stories, and our video podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a good night. Talk to you soon, Ed.
Peace.